It's good to be back, and why don't we go ahead and give this over to the Lord tonight and pray, and just ask God to bless the service tonight. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we come before you tonight now, Lord, by faith in Jesus' name under the blood. And we ask you, Lord God, now that you would just take over now, that you would lead and guide and direct every thought, every word, all that we do, think, and say, Lord God, to your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Let your presence be felt here tonight, Lord. Help us to truly understand and to walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, Lord God, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Even now, in agreement and one accord, we pray. In Jesus' name now, under the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, praise God. Well, good to be back. And I have to say, it was quite a journey into South Texas and over into Mexico. I have to say, that was quite a deal. What a journey that was. But truly, I believe it was a very successful journey, and a journey that made a lot of impact. And so we're very grateful and thankful to God for leading and guiding us in that way. There were so many hungry people. And I'll leave most of that for Shirley to share with you tonight. And we'll go ahead and get into some songs and praise and worship, and ask God to just be here by His permeating Spirit. And He would just bless us tonight in Jesus' name. So praise God. I just want to start out tonight with a song that I'm not quite sure where Shirley is going to go with her message. But why don't we sing this song tonight, Have Faith in God, to start out with. It's been a while since we've been here to do our praise and worship, and I think that would be a great song to kind of break into. Amen. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you, that trip that we took was a step in faith. And boy, did we see some things happen. And I just want to give God all the glory for it, because it's not us. that can do anything apart from Jesus anyways. But rather, it's the Lord who walks before us, who gets all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. We deserve nothing, but Jesus deserves everything. Let's keep that in mind as we walk this walk of faith and keep Jesus in the forefront. Keep on praising Him and glorifying Him, even in the midst of trouble and trial and error, things that you go through in life that cause you to wonder and scratch your head and say, Lord God, how did I get into this mess? But God is able to deliver you. It's a song so aptly was sung. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. I don't know about you, but we sure needed that in Monterey, Mexico.
Oh my.
And I remember driving into Monterey. Here we left Laredo, Texas, early that 4:30 in the morning, thinking that we're going to escape a lot of the heavy traffic going across the border, which we did. However, getting through Nuevo, which is the border with Laredo, was quite an ordeal, and these bumps that were not marked in the road, all of a sudden, I mean, that'll break any axle on any car. These bumps were so steep, and they were unmarked in the dark, and that was quite a challenge. So we had to, didn't know the language, didn't know where we were, had no GPS, all by faith.
Praise
finally
God.
Asked a few Spanish-speaking people, and kind of etched a little understanding out of what they were trying to say. As we were finally able to get on the right road, we understood that the main road was Cuautu, which was the toll road. We finally, after a couple of miscues, made our way onto the Cuautu, that highway going to Monterey. Getting into Monterey, we get into Monterey and it was raining in the middle of rush hour, foggy, traffic was horrific, streets were flooded, cars were squeezing us out from every direction. We didn't know the language, and it was by sheer miracle. I saw this one road way back in the back of my mind. I thought it Universidad, Highway 57, kind of stuck there. And I glanced to my left, and I took a last-second turn to the left in all that mess, trying to get through there for 2 hours of confusion. Monterey is no picnic. We got on the right road somehow, and then we were diverted again because streets were flooded. Found our way back to that road somehow by miracle and made our way out of Monterey finally onto Highway 40 going towards Saltillo, Mexico, which would then take us going southbound on Highway 57 straight into Guanajuato, Mexico, 9 hours later. Rather, it took 14 hours. We finally got in there late at night. I don't know how we found the motel, by sheer miracle. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. But I would never suggest anybody to go through Monterey, Mexico, unless you kind of know the language. It was unreal. But God got us through it. And the Lord showed Himself faithful every step of the way. Always there was someone there when we needed help. Somebody came from out of the shadows and asked if we needed some help. The Lord just made a way where there was no way. It was pretty amazing. And to God be the glory.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So, matter of fact, perhaps I'm looking for that song. Bear with me now, if you will. Right here. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Number 95 of the chorus. Why don't we go there and sing that? Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith He the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. I prayed in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know about you, but oftentimes in my life I felt like I could do absolutely nothing at all without God. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth.
Amen.
We can do nothing without God.
Amen. That's right.
We're utterly and utterly helpless. Our hope without that hope is hopeless. Without the hope of Christ. But with Christ we have hope.
Yes.
And with that, we have joy and peace because of that hope. Amen. Praise God, sister. Good to see you. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. And I got to say, there were situations that arose that astonished me and astonished Shirley on that trip. Things that took place, and the hunger in people's eyes as we got there. The hunger for that word, the true word of God. They received those tracts and found them reading these tracts 20 minutes later after giving them those tracts. People that are sitting there reading those tracts intently. They couldn't get their eyes off of them. I don't know that they've ever seen such a word written in their language as that. But it was something that captivated their attention. And I know that as we stood there, watched these people, many of the Americans, I don't want to take the thunder out of Shirley's message if she may be repeating some of this as well. But to make my point, a lot of the American people over there were very rude and very, how would you say, indifferent. But these Mexican people, were very humble. Many of them seeking with a seeking heart. Oh, I know it's a party fiesta attitude in Mexico. But they sure took those tracks and they said, gracias. And they were so thankful, so grateful.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
It was an amazing thing to watch. And I knew that all I could think about was how that we could do nothing without the Lord. We are nothing without God. And these poor people who have never heard such a truth or seen that before, perhaps, for the first time, having a chance to read those words of truth, to be inspired, lifted up, to have a little hope. While the Americans over there rudely and indifferently mocked and didn't want nothing to do with such a thing. I'll let Shirley make mention of some of that, and I won't go into great detail on that one. Suffice it to say that in America, people have become so indifferent to the words of Christ, the gospel, peace. They think that they can live this life without God. And they are so sorely mistaken. But in Mexico, and even in parts of southern Texas, we've come across people down there too that were very hungry for the Word of God. If people could just get it in their spirit, in their heart, in their understanding, to know that we are failures without God. We are nothing without God. We would have no hope without that hope. If we could just grasp that understanding. And most people miss the boat. They walk through life in a daze. They have no clear understanding of what life is truly like when you have that life of peace and joy, that life with Christ that passes all understanding, that perfect peace and joy. But I have seen in many countries, and now I can add Mexico to that list, how that these Americans over in San Miguel and other places in Mexico were, seems like all they wanted to do was spend on their selfish needs, but they forgot where they got that money. They forgot where they had that health to do anything. Apart from God, we can do nothing. But those Mexican people were different. Why don't we sing that song tonight, number 91, in the chorus, "Without Him, I Could Do Nothing."
Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea. And make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me.
Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God. I know that many lives were touched, even in the days of Jesus. Wherever Jesus was, there was hope. As we would say in Mexico, Pablica debe esperanza. As we handed out those tracts, we would speak those words to the Mexican people, which meant words of hope. They would say gracias, we would say de nada. And somehow we had to learn those few phrases. That was about all we knew besides a few others. But we know that the Lord, that was why we were there, was to give him the glory, to spread his words of hope to a lost and dying generation of people. To a people who so steeped in tradition, Catholicism. So steeped in parties, in fiestas, and having a good time. And it was quite remarkable to watch their faces. And that desperate look in their eyes. I know many were touched. This side of eternity, we may never know. But we'll know on the other side. Well over 2,000 tracts, all of those tracts were passed out. And we probably could have passed out another 2,000, no doubt, I'm sure. If we had more time there to spend. But it was time to go. It was time. Why don't we sing that song, He Touched Me? Oh, He Touched Me. Let's sing that. Number 109 in the chorus.
He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. I know He touched me and made me whole. He touched me, oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Praise God in heaven. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
Praise God.
Oh, praise God. We could probably sing more and more tonight, but no further ado, we should probably give this over now. Surely we'll be coming up shortly. We'll go ahead and take up a quick offering of tithes and offerings and move on with the service. And we'll go ahead and pray one more time and give it over to Shirley. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Okay, praise God. Okay.
If anybody has a request, go ahead, sister.
If we can have prayer for our sister, dear sister Carol.
Okay.
Huh. And she's facing hip replacement surgery somewhere the 2nd or 3rd of December.
Really?
But unless the Lord helps her get improved, she really wasn't doing so well.
Okay.
And yet she said she was going to be losing her health insurance at the beginning of the year, and that she really needed that to go through. Sandy Kelly was there to help her. She was about the only person helping her.
Oh my, okay.
So she said if we would also pray for Sandy to have strength and faith.
I heard a few tidbits about that, but I wasn't quite sure what all had happened there, for sure.
She tripped and went down. She's got ceramic tile.
Okay.
Into concrete, so it's just, I mean, it's harder than concrete. And she hit the corner of the wall.
Oh.
And it's amazing. I mean, the Lord really helped her that she didn't break anything, but she said she went through an awful lot of excruciating pain.
I'm sure she did.
So.
But nothing was broken, though, huh?
Amazing.
Wow. Actually, that is amazing. Well, okay. Praise God. Let's pray for her, for Carol. Now, and all those who are online, if you could just agree with us in prayer that Carol would be healed. She fell and is in great need of prayer and help right now. And thank God for Sandy Kelly, who is over there helping her. And why don't we give her into the hands of God now and ask the Lord to bless her, heal her, and to help her to be whole, to be made whole again. And I know that she has surgery coming up, but let's just pray for that too. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we give Carol into thine hands, O God. And we ask you now, Lord, that you would do a work and a miracle in her life by the blood of Christ. We come in agreement and one accord now by faith, O Lord, before thine holy face. And Lord God, we lift her up now, O God, asking you to do a great miracle. Asking you, Lord God, to move on her behalf, to make her whole and to make her well, Lord God, and to help her through that surgery, if she takes that surgery, Lord God. But that you would heal her, that wound and the scar and the face wound and any areas, oh Lord God, where she had suffered a lot of pain. We ask you, Lord, to do a work and a mighty work. By faith in Jesus' name, we lift her up in accordance to your word, oh God. Oh, by the Holy Ghost, we pray now, Lord God, that you would lead, God, and direct her. Oh, Lord God, help this woman. That she would be able to make it, oh, Lord God. To make it through surgery, to make it through the financial situation she's in. And all the other situations that Lord God, we don't know of. Oh, Lord God, we lift her up by faith in Jesus' name, under the blood and agreement, one accord now. Asking by faith, truly. That you would do a great healing even tonight. Oh Lord God, we give her to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise
God. And Lord God, we pray for these tithes, gifts, and offerings that you would bless the giver. And Lord God, that you would multiply these tithes and gifts and offerings For thy perfect use, O God, I pray. In Jesus' name we pray now under the blood. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
And so Shirley's going to come up now and give her message. Amen. Praise God. Oh, Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to be back. I know the Lord just brought us back in time. It was so amazing because we were in Austin, Texas, stayed there an extra day, and we just felt prompted to leave Mexico just a little earlier than we had hoped and anticipated originally. And it was so amazing because I understand that there's been bad weather in that Dallas-Fort Worth area, and we were not far from there at all. I just marvel at God's timing. He brought us back before the snow. I mean, it was a little crunchy stuff on the ground when we got here, but, you know, and then it fell the next day, and I just really thank God. He has been so faithful. Oh, He has helped us in so many ways. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. It's good to be here, as I said. It's good to have everybody online, too, and I know the Lord is here, and I praise Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God. We truly know that without You, we could do nothing at all, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, for what You've done, Lord. Oh, Lord, the things that You put in our heart. Oh God, the ways that You lead us, Lord. Oh God, Your goodness and Your mercy and Your faithfulness, Lord. And oh God, the fact that, oh Lord, we could call upon You at any point, at any moment. Oh Lord, You are that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You are there, Lord, for every need and for every decision, God. And we thank You, Lord. We thank You for what You've done, Lord. I pray that You work in our hearts here tonight, Lord. I pray that You give us greater faith, Lord. I pray that You help us to reach out to You, Lord, and touch You, to claim Your promises, Lord. Oh, God, to get close to You, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that You bring us closer to You, Lord. Oh, God, to that higher ground, Lord. That, oh, God, that place where You are, Lord. Oh, God, that we might see You, Lord. That we might dwell with You. That we might be right with You, Lord. That we might be more like You, Jesus. Oh, God, we bring it all before You, asking You to bind and break every troublesome spirit, oh, Lord. Everything, oh, Lord, that would come against us, Lord, to oppose us. Every doubt, every fear, every apprehension, Lord. Oh, God, everything that's contrary to Your word, God, oh, Lord. But let it be quenched, Lord. Oh, let it be stopped. We just give it all to You in Jesus' name. By the power of the blood, oh, Lord, thanking You for Your precious promises in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to talk about faith tonight. And I'm going to try to tell you things about our journey as I speak. It was a very faith-building trip. I must say, it wasn't that our faith wasn't tested, because believe me, it was. But God gave us great strength and great victories and proved Himself very faithful. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Let's go to 1 John, the 5th chapter, and read a verse here. Very important little verse here that's familiar to us. 1 John 5, verse 4. And here it is. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. I must say, faith is being attacked like never before. It's no wonder that Jesus asked that question there in Luke, the 18th chapter. When the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith in the earth? He asked that question. And it's so true to these current events, because we see a a lack of faith. We see a lack of response to the promises of God in this nation, maybe particularly, maybe more than any other place. I'm not sure. I haven't traveled very much to know all those kind of details, but I know what I've seen in America, and there surely is a lack of real faith. People reaching out and believing God and trusting Him and putting their hope in Him and claiming His promises. It's so rare to find real faith. But again, it's not a surprise because Jesus Himself asked that question. You know, He told that wonderful story of a woman who was so persistent. And it's teaching us there in that 18th chapter of Luke that we ought always to pray and not to faint. People faint so easily. They give in too easily. They think if their prayer isn't answered almost instantly that it's not going to be answered. And that's not what Jesus was teaching in that parable in Luke 18. He wasn't teaching that at all. He was teaching about a woman that came before a judge, a very unjust judge, who didn't fear God, he didn't fear man. And yet she came before him continuously and asked him to avenge her of her adversary. And the scripture says he would not for a while. But because she persisted, because she continued, she wearied him and he gave in and avenged her of her adversary. And the Lord used that to teach us that we need to have that kind of persistence with God, that we need to have that kind of faith. It's faith that she was hanging on to, faith that if she continued to ask, that God would intervene. And we need that same kind of faith today, that if we continue to ask, that God will intervene. And Jesus, He assured her in verse 6 of that chapter, and the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily." Then the question, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" And that's just, wow, you just find, just, oh boy, such trust in man, it seems like. Rather do an instant thing, rather rely on drugs, rather go to the doctors. But God teaches us to have faith and to wait long for it if we need to, realizing that God is faithful and that He will answer. Oh, it's a precious thing. But yet we read, too, in 1 John 5:4 about that victory that overcometh the world. And that is our faith. We know without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You can't even come to God unless you have faith. You cannot please Him without faith. But God puts faith in our hearts. If we will respond, He'll give us more faith too. Faith to overcome the world. That victory that overcomes the world. And that's our faith. Praise the Lord. Let's also look at Matthew 17 here. Jesus did have words to say about faith. He was a subject, I'm sure, that He commonly talked about. And here in Matthew 17, we see a real-life story here. It tells us here of a man who came desperately to Jesus. He was in a desperate situation. Verse 15 in this chapter tells us how he came. He said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." So here was quite the situation, and this man was desperate. He had already gone to the disciples, and they had been given power to heal the sick and to deliver those that were vexed and fallen under the snare of the devil. But they didn't have faith for this man. And verse 17 tells us, "Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation," even then, "how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, it tells us in the next verse. And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then it tells us in verse 19 that the disciples came to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" They didn't understand. I'm sure they had had great victories and had seen the Lord work in mighty ways. He had given them that power to go forth and heal the sick and deliver them that were bound with devils. And Jesus answered in verse 20, he said unto them, "Because of your unbelief." They believed. They didn't have it in their heart. They must have thought that this one was too hard. It was just beyond what they could imagine. And they just didn't give it to God, obviously. So he said, "Because of your unbelief." And then Jesus went on, "For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." He's talking about faith, just a little bit of faith. A mustard seed's tiny, but you know, you bite into it and it's potent. And he's saying, if you just have a little bit of this potent faith, you can say to that mountain, "Be removed," and it shall be removed. Mark 11 also has the same passage of scripture, but it's just a little bit more. And I want to go there also. Let's go to Mark 11. And here, Jesus is saying something similar. It's just a little different circumstance. It wasn't the healing or the deliverance of a lunatic in this case, but he had just rebuked the fig tree and it had withered away. And they marveled at that too, because it happened right away. They rebuked it the night before, and the next morning they saw the fig tree and it was dried up from roots. And so his disciples were marveling at that. It says in verse 21, "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." And Jesus just said in verse 22, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." And then he explained, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and here, listen to this, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So praise the Lord. Here the Lord is giving them a great clue as how to have faith. You have to have that little faith and believe and not doubt in your heart. And Jesus said, if that's the case, then he shall have whatsoever he saith. And then, of course, he went on to say the need to forgive. And sometimes there are hindrances. There was a hindrance with the disciples when they tried to cast out the evil spirits from the lunatic. And Jesus said that was unbelief in that case. And here, Jesus is explaining that it's important not to doubt when you ask God for anything. And then he goes on to explain the need to forgive. And he said in verse 25, "And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." So that also can be a big stumbling block in people's lives. If there's unforgiveness and hidden things in their life, that will hinder them from being able to reach God and to have the answers that we need. But if we're walking with the Lord, we show our faith. And we know that in James, the second chapter, it talks about the need to have works with our faith. Let's just go there also. Let's go to James, the second chapter. Catch some of these verses here. Let's look at the 14th verse in the second chapter of James. can hear James is saying, "What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" You just can't say something, and it is so. There has to be manifestations. There has to be works. And it's explained in verse 17, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. We show our faith by our works." And that is so often the case in the miracles that you see that happened in the Gospels. In Matthew 9, there's beautiful examples of miracles that the Lord Jesus did. And one is the man that was sick of the palsy. And the man that brought him in to the room where Jesus was had faith. And in the scripture says, Jesus seeing their faith. When they let down that man in his cot or on his bed or whatever it was, they took tiles off the roof so they could bring him down. It was a desperate situation, and they knew that the only answer was Jesus Christ. But Jesus saw their faith. There was action that they did. They put faith to the task, and they let it be seen, and Jesus saw it. And of course, he forgave that man's sin, and then he healed him. Praise the Lord. But God sees faith. And in that same chapter 9 of Matthew, there were two blind men that came to Jesus seeking their sight. And Jesus had asked them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And they said, "Yea, Lord." They had faith. And then Jesus answered them in that ninth chapter of Matthew, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And you know what? Those men went away seeing. Obviously, they had faith. It was according to their faith. But faith is something that's tangible. You can see the evidence of it. It comes through by the way we talk, by the thoughts we think, and the things we do. It's an action word in reality. It's something that, you know, we would believe God for in our heart, but we show it through our actions and our thoughts, our words, our deeds. According to our faith, be it unto you. Praise the Lord. But continuing here in James, the second chapter, James was writing in verse 18, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." There's only one way you can show faith, and that's by your works. "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" He's emphasizing this point. He's saying it again and again and again. This is the third time, I believe, or maybe the fourth. And then he's saying in verse 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works?" You know, you could say Abraham believed God, but if he wouldn't have got up and left Chaldee, there would have been no evident faith. He would have been stuck there. God couldn't have worked. God couldn't have used him. God wouldn't have made him a father of nations. But Abraham had faith. He not only heard God's voice, but he obeyed it. And then it talks about when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. I mean, that was the hardest thing that anybody could ever be expected to do. But Abraham had faith that God would raise him up again. Even if it meant sacrificing him for the moment, he had faith, and he showed that faith, and God saw it. Verse 22 explains, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" Praise the Lord, that faith was made perfect through those actions. And verse 23 explains, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And then he went on to talk about Rahab. It says in verse 25, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. There's no way you can have faith without works. I want to just go to Joshua, the second chapter, just for a few minutes here, and just talk about Rahab just a minute and show you some things that the Lord pointed out to me. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. So Joshua, the second chapter here. And here, not reading every verse, I don't suppose, but just mentioning how it was before they had entered into Canaan land, and Joshua, then in charge, he had sent two men out to spy the land there, even Jericho. And it tells us how they came to a house in Jericho, and there was Rahab there, and they stayed with her, obviously. And somehow the rumor got about that some men had come, some Israelite men had come, and they were with Rahab, and it became known. And so, you know, they're telling Rahab, get those men out. They've come in to search the country. They're spies, and, you know, what are you doing with them? But the woman had something in her heart that was a little deeper than most people have in their hearts. And verse 4 tells us that the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And she made it possible for them to escape. First of all, she hid them on the top of her roof. There were stalks of flax that she was obviously drying up there on her roof. And she hid them there. And the men were told that you know, that they were not there. She concealed the matter, and they were preserved, in other words. And so the men who were looking for the spies went other places to pursue them. But anyway, verse 9 begins to tell of Rahab's faith. She's, after they're gone, those that were looking for the spies are gone and pursuing elsewhere to find them. She went down, she came up on the roof to talk to the two men that were up there, hidden. Verse 9 says, and she said unto the man, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Oh my, something had already happened in her heart. Even before she met the man, she had heard what God had already done for the Israelites, how he had led them out of Egypt, and how they'd been able to cross the Red Sea. And all of that, some of their adventures, how they had smitten the two kings of the Amorites, and all of that. And it did something to Rahab, and perhaps to others. She said, and that your terror is fallen upon us. She already knew that God was going to do something, that he had given them the land. And she said that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. There was already something in her heart. She said, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And then she said in verse 11, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. It's so amazing. God had prepared this woman's heart. She already had faith. There was something already stirred within her. And already she knew that the Israelites were going to come in, that God was going to give them victory. And she already recognized God as the Lord. She already knew those things. God had prepared this woman's heart. And I just thought that was so amazing, because I couldn't help but think of our journey to Mexico and Guanajuato, and you know, one thing was evident. God prepared those people's hearts. I've just never seen anything like that at all. Like Brother Tim already said, we would pass out tracts. They would all take them. There were maybe 6 people that were Mexicans that rejected them, possibly. And maybe sometimes we just didn't catch their attention in time. But the Lord opened up their hearts. It was just an amazing thing. They took those tracts and they would ponder over them. Like Brother Tim said, sometimes we'd see them just coming down the street later, just, you know, engrossed in that tract, just pouring over it. Like we saw people outside their dwellings reading it at times. I found a little woman, and I think this was possibly the place that the Lord had showed me in my dream. I had seen this place. I figured it was in Mexico, and I was in it, and I was looking for mugs and just finding some and looking through it and all that, and this was as the Lord was preparing us to go to Mexico, and I knew it was no place here in this country. But anyway, it was very like unto that. We found some places where they were assembling ceramics near to the hacienda where we ended up staying there at the end there. And this one woman, I just really felt that tug in my heart that the Lord was talking to her, and she just so gladly took that track. And we went into another shop after that, as we came back, she was sitting out there in front of her little place, and she was just pouring over it. She was reading the track, and I felt like we had to go back. We did go back there later and buy a few things there. But, it was so amazing. It was that the Lord had prepared their hearts. It was a tremendous response, and I hope to say just a little bit more. But God prepared Rahab, and we know that God made a way for her to escape. And it's a beautiful thing. She had such faith in her heart. Let's just read a couple more verses here in this second chapter of Joshua. Verse 12 says, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you may save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." This woman had faith. God had really given her something special, and it wasn't just for herself. It was for her father, her mother, her brothers, her sisters, that God would not only save her, but those individuals also from death. I think that is so precious. And of course, God honored her faith and God made a way for her. And of course, we know that Rahab actually became part of the bloodline that led to Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful story, but God honored her faith. And what a beautiful, beautiful story that is. What a beautiful story it is. But faith is so important. Without faith, as I said, we cannot begin to please God. And it isn't that our faith isn't tested, because God does test our faith to see how it will stand, if we really even have faith at times. I think our going to Mexico was one tremendous test of faith, because for one thing, a lot of people told us not to go. They warned us that we better not go, that it was extremely dangerous to go to Mexico and not wise, and something unthinkable, in other words. But it's so amazing. God just began to prepare us. I think way earlier this year, it just kind of put it in my heart earlier this year to go get a passport, and never thought of that before, but anyway, this year, yeah, the Lord put it in my heart, and I began to take those steps and That was a little bit of an adventure too, because the thing I thought was my birth certificate was actually not, and I had to go to, you know, greater struggles to go get it. But anyway, he put that in my heart, and then he'd given me that track that I wrote before our other trip earlier in the spring. And then it just occurred to me that it should be in Spanish. And good friends there in Georgia took it upon themselves to translate it for me. And I just, wow, it was just like, just step by step, you know. I don't know, Lord, I don't know why I'm doing this exactly. But, you know, the Lord was leading and guiding. And then it was a few Fridays before, not too many really, before our trip that God gave me that dream. And I woke up on a Friday morning and I just felt like I had been in Mexico and just in this little shop and looking at mugs and, you know, Lord, what does this mean? So anyway, it just all happened little by little. And I think Brother Tim and I were looking, I think we were in Barnes & Noble, was it? And we were just looking at some brochures and looking about possibilities with Mexico. I guess the Lord just started stirring it up within us somehow, and saw these pictures pertaining to Guanajuato, and just something just tugged at us. It just was just an amazing thing, and I can remember saying to him, I think, well, maybe the Lord really wants us to do that. Maybe he wants us to go there. But it was an amazing thing because, like I said, God prepared these people. But, you know, it was like the whole trip was prepared, actually. We had quite the wonderful adventures even in Texas. God really went before us. It was even the very first day, and we had stopped at a rest stop, and for some reason we were listening to something on the radio, and just sat there in the car for a few minutes and then decided to go into the rest area. And then as I came back to the car, I noticed that another car had pulled up beside ours, and there, lo and behold, was a woman, and she was on the phone, and I just felt very compelled to talk to her, and I just felt like something was wrong, and I just said, is there some way I can help you? And it was an amazing thing because her story came tumbling out. She said, well, I didn't want to ask anybody. She said, but my son got sick. We were traveling home, and my son got sick and started to vomit. And so I stopped to buy some paper towels and things to clean up. And in the meantime, I put my billfold on top of the car. And by the time I was finished cleaning up, I forgot about it. When she went back, she couldn't find it at all. And here she was, still quite a distance from home, and had no money to get back and needed to put gas in the car. And she didn't want to ask anybody, and she didn't have to, because God put it in my heart to help her. But it was such an amazing thing, and God talking to her. And lo and behold, she said, well, she had a Pentecostal background. We began to tell her just a little bit what we were going to be doing, we thought. And she said, well, I have a Pentecostal background. My grandfather was an old-time Pentecostal preacher. She said, I used to just love those tent meetings. And she said, you know, there's nothing like that anymore. And she said, I just yearn for that kind of ministry. And I just yearn to find that sort of thing. And oh, Lord, it was so amazing. Where do you find such people? And I said, well, that's a yearning in our heart, too, really, to see that old-time ministry restored, those works of the book of Acts, and to see the Lord working like he once did. And it was just an amazing thing. We just knew the Lord had set this whole thing up. And that was our first day. The Lord did that. And then when we were in Texas, the Lord just brought people. We had a beautiful time with David and Terry Battistoni, and people were at their place, and we were able to pray with them, and they ministered with us and me with them. A young man named Jacob, he's in the United Pentecostal Church, but seeking God and asking a lot of questions, and I hope we were able to help him. But just a lot of things happened. Just a lot of ministry and a lot of good things, a lot of worship, a lot of praise, all of that kind of thing. And then I was at the post office there. I actually think I was in Groves. And it took a while. There was a long line there at the post office, and I was just kind of waiting in line. Finally got up to the window and got my stamps, mailed my letter. But I heard these women behind me talking about a certain individual, and they were saying how they had a child that really needed prayer, and they were talking about how God could intervene and answer prayer. And, you know, I heard faith in their words, and I just felt like, wow, I'm just going to share some tracks with them. So I did, you know, as I got done with my business, I talked to them and said, you know, I heard you talking, and I know you have some concerns, and I just wanted to share these tracks. Maybe they'll help somebody, and, you know, I know the Lord answers prayer, and He certainly can take care of your needs, too. And lo and behold, I just had finished talking to them. A little woman stepped out of line, and she said, "Could I have one of those tracks too?" She said, "I've got a lot of problems in my life, and I need Jesus." Praise the Lord. And I just, my only regret was that I wouldn't have more time to linger and talk to her. But I'm so glad to be able to share with her just slightly there. But I bet hunger in the heart. I just, you know, somebody just saying, "I need Jesus." It was just so precious. So really precious. And I said, "Please contact us and stay in touch." But praise the Lord. The Lord did good things. And then that last night that we were in Texas, we went into the guardhouse. Terry's the guard. And she has a ministry there. And she plays our stuff. She plays our recordings in the guardhouse. And we drove up there, and it was one of our services. We could hear it. And we stepped in that place. And I'll tell you what, it was beautiful. It was an already recorded message. It was one of our services. It was the worship portion of the service. And it was beautiful. We were able to step in there and worship the Lord. We saw everything from a different perspective, from Terry's perspective, and those that come to the guardhouse, because everybody that's going on to the shipping yard and into the plant there has to stop at the guardhouse first, and she'll inspect their vehicle if necessary, or give them, you know, that permission to go forward. But they hear our stuff, they hear our sermons, they hear our messages, and it was so beautiful. We stood there with her and sang and praised and worshiped the Lord. How easy, how beautiful it is to be able to worship the Lord and to raise our hands to God and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'll tell you, His presence just filled that place. God's presence was in that little guardhouse. And you know what? It's true. If we will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, His presence will come down. His presence will come down to meet our needs, to take away the emptiness, to give us that strength that we need. God is with His people, and if they will worship Him, if they will draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to them. That's His promise. That's His word. And He responds to faith. If you show faith, God will respond. He will meet your needs. And there in the guardhouse, oh my, we felt the Lord. And, you know, we just got a little sample of it. A fellow came in pretty soon, and he said, "Terry, will you pray for me? I've got some needs." And believe me, we were so glad we were able to join Terry and pray with this man. And that was just a little sample of some of the things that happened in that guardhouse. How she gives out our tracks, our materials. They hear our sermons. She gives out CDs. I'll tell you what. Oh, God is alive. God is alive in the midst of His people. But that was a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So anyway, we finished our ministry there in the Port Arthur Vider Beaumont area of Texas, and we're going to go on to Mexico, and that Sunday we thought it would be wise to go down to the Nuevo Laredo area first to get the permit. We're going to need a permit, we realized, to go into Mexico. We're driving a car, and we're going to have a permit. So anyway, we thought we would do that Sunday and leave real early the next day, Monday, to actually literally go into there. But anyway, we go into that area. And everything was an adventure, just everything, you know. We don't speak the language, and we have to rely on God. But you know what? He brings somebody to help us all the time, you know. He's just somebody that would show up and know how to speak English or whatever and understood somehow what we needed and would help us. It just happened again and again. But anyway, we were going through all the little checkout points, and everything seemed pretty good. And then we got to this one window, and they told us that we were going to have to pay an extra fee that we weren't thinking of at all. We didn't realize we were going to have to pay this extra fee to bring a car into Mexico, and it was quite an exorbitant fee. It was over $450 that they were asking, and we just about didn't go into Mexico because of that. In fact, we just put the brakes on right there and said, well, we're not going to pay that. But anyway, the Lord helped us. The Lord had mercy. We found some people that could talk English, very nice people that helped us at this point and explained to us that, yes, they would take a portion of this, like $50, a little less than that, I think, in reality, but the rest would be returned once we brought back the car. But still, we just didn't really quite know. It was one of those tests that the Lord put in front of us at the moment. And so we talked to these people, felt a little better, but then we felt we needed to pray. We still didn't know in our heart what to do. And so we just prayed to the Lord and felt that He confirmed the fact that we could go into Mexico, that He would be with us, and that we were in His will. He was keeping the door open, and it would be okay. We'd get our money back, all of those kind of things. And we did. But praise the Lord, it was almost, at that point, we almost didn't do it. We almost didn't go in. But God gave us the reassurances that we needed, and we were able to go forth. And already Brother Tim already mentioned how it was as we got into the Nuevo Laredo area was pretty hard to go through. It was very early in the morning and dark, and we didn't really know where to go, but the Lord had mercy on us and somehow got us out of there. And then we went on to Monterey. It was a little distance, and Brother Tim already explained that period. Oh man, how difficult it was to go to Monterey, and somehow God just helped him to see exactly the right sign there, because we made it out of there after 2 hours. But praise the Lord, these were tests. And you know, sure enough, it was a very long day, but late that night, God got us into Guanajuato. And it was just a beginning of another story. And there, it took us a little while to find the inn that we we're going to be staying at, and that was a little bit of endeavor. That was took a little bit of doing. We finally found a taxi cab driver who spoke English, who drove us. He led the way so that we could follow and find this place. It was up in the hills. It was mountains, really. And you go like this. Not used to that, but praise the Lord, we got there. And the Lord being so good, everything was well, you know, just everything happened just according to his plan and his purpose. And we were able to rest that night. We were actually able to sleep. But the next morning, you know, we wanted to go into town. They wanted us to pay the charge for that inn in pesos. Wasn't expecting that at all. I had put it on my charge card and thought that would be adequate. And now they're asking for pesos. And I'm thinking, I don't have enough pesos. We had exchanged some money into pesos, but I didn't really have enough pesos to, you know, pay for this, the inn. So the Lord had to help us to figure out how to do that. He did. But in the meantime, we're trying to figure out who can help us. We want a taxi cab driver who speaks English. And there weren't too many. The driver that had helped us the night before just wouldn't answer the phone. And finally, this other driver came into the picture, and his name was Rick. And he spoke English. His father had insisted that he learn English when he was in second grade, I believe he said, and he spoke English quite well. And he kind of became our escort. And it was just a very godsend. It was an amazing story, because the Lord not only used him to help us, but I believe we helped him too. And he took us where we needed to go, and he helped us with the Spanish and the ATM machines and the things that we had to go through at that moment. But we sat down to have lunch with Rick, and I began to talk a little bit about spiritual things, and he said that he could see like an aura on our faces. And again, it was like God prepared these people to receive us. It was so amazing. And we said, no, it's not an aura, it's the Spirit of God. It's God in us that you see on our faces, on our countenances. And we were able to talk to him, and he said, wow, this is really different. He said, I'll never forget this day. The Lord's doing something in me, you know? And it was just an amazing thing. I don't know. I don't think God's finished with Ricardo. I trust that we will see him. He does want to come to America, possibly bring his girlfriend too. And we'll just see what the Lord does. We'll see what the Lord does. But God put him in our path. And he was a good friend and a good help to us. And it was just another example of how the Lord would bring people to us. We were in a restaurant one time, or I guess it was a little ice cream shop in reality, and we're wondering about some of the Spanish words. And lo and behold, sitting across the table, there was a young couple, and they were from Mexico City, could talk English, and it was really neat. It just, again, another example. We got on the bus with them a little later, and it went up to the central part of the city. But just an example of how God would bring people, and we'd be able to talk to them and give them tracts. As we walked the streets, we would pass out the tracts. It just was such an amazing, humbling experience, because Americans would reject our materials. They wouldn't want them. You know, I remember we were chatting with a couple of Americans in another restaurant at one point, and you know, I was, you know, a little small talk at first. Kind of nice to talk in English to somebody who could understand us and all that. But then, you know, I wanted to share our materials with them, and they said, oh, no, we don't take tracts. And another time we were, you know, talking to some Americans and explaining what we were doing. And they said, well, wow, I hope you're not here to start another church. They have so many churches already. And that was the attitude that you felt in Americans. They had this closed hardness about them. But here it was, these beautiful Mexican people in Guanajuato, and like I said, God had already worked in them, and you could see the need on their countenance. I mean, you could see that heaviness. The Catholic spirit is a very heavy, dark area. It's very Catholic. You see their old churches that they consider to be grand, but oh my, not to me. But you could see that lack in their heart. You could feel that emptiness, and you knew that they needed Jesus. And they perhaps never had a real track in their whole life, and they would take it like it was a great treasure. They would embrace it. We could just go down the street. We could, you know, give it to person after person after person and hardly ever be rejected. It was just an amazing response from these people. I know one evening we were waiting for Rick, and we were waiting at the market, the Mercado there, and passing out a few tracks as we sat there, and we're waiting for him. And I remember, I think I passed a track to a young man, and pretty soon I just see him walking back. He's reading the track, he's walking, he's reading that track, and he's just concentrating, just very closely to it. So amazing. And then there were a couple young girls across from us. They were selling baked goods, and they were kind of watching us, obviously. And eventually one of them came over and said, "Can I have one of those tracks?" And it was an amazing thing. She started reading it right away. The Lord just put it in their hearts to read it. It was a beautiful thing. God truly had prepared those people. I think one of the images that really, I believe, will probably forever stay in my mind happened after we had left Guanajuato, and we were going down Highway 57 at that point, and stopped at a little shop where they were selling ceramics. It was kind of like an outdoor makeshift market type thing, very humble. Yeah, right. And went in there looking at some mugs and that sort of thing. And Tim said to me, he said, "You know what? I think he lives in here. Go to the back there and just look." And lo and behold, I went to the back, and there in a corner was this little, it wasn't even really a cot, it was just a narrow piece of, a couple of blankets or cloths or something, it just all in a corner, kind of just, you know, very small little space there, all crammed together, not too clean. And realized, yeah, he probably lives right there, that's probably his home. But it was such an amazing thing, because when we left that place, and of course we shared a track with him, he didn't speak English, but we left him that track, and as we were pulling away, he was out there, he was waving to us, and he was holding the track in his other hand. He was waving with one hand and holding the track in the other hand. It was such a humbling, beautiful thing to think that maybe that track would make an impact in this man's life, who almost for sure never had heard the gospel before. Just something that we could do for the Lord. Praise the Lord. And one day we decided to go to San Manquil, and we didn't like that place too well. There were a lot of Americans there, and that's, again, that spirit, that resistance, you could feel that rather strongly. Yes, too Americanized, for sure. But Tim had felt impressed to go into this one little shop. It was actually a jewelry shop. And here was a little woman inside that shop, and she could speak English. And lo and behold, she was a Christian. And wow, we just shared such a beautiful time together. I know she was selling jewelry, but she didn't have jewelry on her countenance, on her face, or on her body, actually. It's kind of amazing. And she wanted to share her beautiful story of how Jesus had come into her life, how she had just been, you know, a low-down person of no respect, and God had come into her life and changed everything and made her a whole person. And she just had a beautiful story that just came pouring out of her heart. And it was a beautiful thing. Of course, we prayed with her. And the thing is, the prayer, it just so spontaneous with these people. It just so beautiful. We were just worshiping the Lord there in our little shop, raising our hands, worshiping the Lord. It was just so beautiful to spend those very few moments with Ava. And of course, we exchanged email addresses. I hope that we can correspond. But it was like the Lord put her right there for that moment. He brought us to that little shop just to be with her, to encourage her just a wee bit. And what a beautiful thing it was. It was a beautiful moment for us too. It was really precious. But praise the Lord. You know, coming home, well, it wasn't really quite coming home. We were still in Mexico. We had left Guanajuato and, oh, let's see, I think we were on Highway 110 at that point. And Tim decided to stop at this kind of outdoor makeshift little breakfast place, I guess you could call it. And was that off 557?
Yeah, we're already
at. Okay, I didn't know we were already on there. Okay, maybe so then. So we were on Highway 57, and at first it was just a little bit hard to talk with the man that was outside. He was working on some breakfasts, it seemed. There was nobody really else out there, but anyway, just he didn't speak English. But try to make him understand that we had like eggs, and you know, huevos. So got that point through, and then he said, omelets? And yeah, would like omelets, you know? So he had to sit down. His wife was still there, and his children were getting ready for school, and had to sit down inside, and a little table there. And while we were sitting, another man came in. And this man spoke English. And he sat down by us, and we began to realize that he was a pastor. He had a home church right there in that area. And he called himself Charles, and began to talk with him and realized that we had some good things in common. He didn't believe in denominations either, and he highly esteemed the Word of God, the King James Bible. And it's just an amazing thing, like the Lord had just brought us there. We came to understand that the man we first saw there was Omar. He was a new convert, because I'd seen a Jewish convert, actually, and just brand new to the truth, to the gospel. But we had a beautiful time right there too, just talking about the Lord and sharing. And before we left, we had prayer together. We had prayer together. And again, you know, it's so spontaneous. When you're with Christians, that worship to the Lord, it's so spontaneous. That desire to praise and worship the Lord, it just kind of pours out. And there we were with, actually, Brother Carlos, I believe is his Mexican name. And he wants to start another church there on the border. Near Eagle Pass, and he's done other things. He'd lived in Texas. He'd had 4-star restaurants, actually. I believe he's in I'm not sure, was that Dallas and Tyler?
Was it
San Antonio? But anyway, he had a really wonderful time of fellowship with him also. Just amazing how the Lord had just put these people in our path that we just had felt impressed to stop, and you know, not even knowing why, God would just make it known to us. And what a blessing it was. What a beautiful moment it was. I know as we were going into Texas, this was kind of an amazing thing too. But the Subaru has been a very good vehicle. It's made it up the hills, down the hills, in the deserts, in the lowlands, everywhere. It's been a wonderful vehicle. But at one point there, as we were getting close to our destination there in Texas, Port Arthur, the icons that were warning lights began to come on. there in the car and didn't know what to think, so pulled over and just really reluctant. I had taken, to go further, I had taken out AAA before left, and so we called them and they actually came to help us out. But in the meantime, as we were waiting for the tow truck, God sent different people that we were able to witness to. And then the tow truck driver, this Jerry, oh, how he needed the Lord. He needed help in his life. You just never know. Sometimes, you know, problems come about, and you don't know why, but the Lord may just turn things around. He may just use that for his glory. And of course, we were able to talk to Jerry, and hopefully we helped him. He certainly has a lot of trouble in his life, but he needed Jesus, didn't he? He needed Jesus. And we were there to tell him the way of the Lord and to instruct him. But God was so faithful throughout all of our trip. Every single instant, he was always there to give us what we had need of. But it was just right before we were ready to leave Mexico. I do need to tell you this part of the story too. We had to go into town. We didn't. Our cell phones weren't work in Mexico, and we didn't really have a phone there in the hacienda we were staying at the moment. We needed to go down to Central to make telephone calls, which we did. And then a taxi cab driver took us back, and he didn't quite know. We wanted to stop at the shops yet, at the little ceramic shops, and I wanted to buy a few things before we left Mexico, Guanajuato area. And anyway, he didn't let us off at quite the right place, so we had to walk back down to the shops, which we did. Bought a few things, and Brother Tim was helping me carry my packages. But anyway, it's dark now, and these roads in Guanajuato are really something. It's a mountainous town. It's 7,000 feet in altitude approximately, and you're going up and down. The roads are really something. They're cobblestone on the side, kind of rough to walk. And inside, they might have a little smoother bricks or something where the car treads would be there. You'd be a little smoother area there. And then in the middle, maybe just a little bit better. But, you know, you kind of walk in the middle if you could. And then if you heard a car coming, you had to scramble to the side. But you always have to look down because, you know, there'd be steps everywhere. And, you know, he didn't want to stumble. He didn't want to fall. So you'd have to kind of look down and make sure you saw the steps and all the unexpected things that might pop up. But we were coming back to the hacienda there, and it was dark by that time, and we were walking. And I guess I was in the middle of the road at that point, and there was a hole in the road, and I didn't see it. And I kind of just, I didn't really slip, but my left foot just kind of fell into the hole, and I just felt it kind of twist. I thought, oh boy, I guess things are really over now. The Lord helped me to walk up to the hacienda without any great struggle, but it was just a little time after that I began to realize it really hurt, and I could hardly walk on it at all. And it was an amazing thing because I was able to knock on Brother Tim's door, and he came out. We prayed, and you know what? The Lord healed me. The Lord healed my foot. It just, I was able to walk all over Houston, Texas, and not even give that incident a thought. God completely healed my foot. And I'm so thankful. You know, we have to, faith is tested in each of our lives. It's put to the test. And it's not always going to be easy. You know, God's going to put things in front of you that might look impossible at times. They might even look crazy at times. But if God is in it, then That's His will, and that's His plan. And, you know, you don't want to miss His plan. We almost missed Mexico because, wow, for a moment there, we thought we just couldn't go in. But what blessings we would have missed. These hungry people that were waiting for these tracks that were years and years without it and needed the gospel. And these other things that the Lord did for us, if you will show faith, God will honor that. It's an amazing thing with God. But you've got to show faith. You've got to let the Lord use it. You know, you've got to give it to the Lord. I remember when Brother Chung was here, I remember I was having trouble with my knee at that time. And we were doing some walking and not quite sure, you know, if I even should be walking, because my knee seemed to be hurting quite a bit at that point. But it came to me. God, if you've given me this assignment to walk right now, then I'm going to do it. You're going to help me. I'm going to believe you, Lord. And you know what? As I walked, my knees started to hurt less and less and less. And pretty soon it wasn't hardly hurting at all. And you know what? My knee doesn't hurt at all now. I walked up those mountains and down those mountains and Guanajuato and other places. And I'll tell you what, my knee never gave me any trouble at all. Our God sees faith, and it's according to our faith. If we expect great things from God, then He'll see it. He'll do it. But if we limit God, oh, Lord, this one's too hard. This is not something I could ever do. You let those doubts and fears come across your path. Oh, God, this is too crazy. I just could not do this. Well, then He's not going to honor that faith either, is it? You're not going to see anything happen either. You know, if you think there's no way God's going to heal me, then He won't. We've got to be bold at times. We've got to take faith by force. You know, it doesn't always come easy. Sometimes you've got to work at it. Sometimes you might be struggling. I remember when God was healing me of that gallbladder situation I had many years ago. Now, there were times that it just kind of tried to come back, and I'd have to rebuke that and just say, Lord, I'm healed. By faith, I'm healed. And expect the Lord to do a work. And He always came through. God always came through. He's always been faithful. I also got a little sick that toward the end of our journey and had a lot of trouble one night. But it, again, was an amazing thing. I just needed some Pepto-Bismol, I guess. And Brother Tim got it for me. But he prayed. And you know what? After he prayed, I vomited. And you know what? I was fine the rest of that day. The Lord had great mercy on me. He sees our faith and He honors it. And if we will just let the Lord work in our lives, the violent take it by force. That means that you exert faith. You believe God in spite of things that look completely contrary. In spite of things that might look impossible, if you will reach out to God and believe, God will honor that. He sees faith. He sees it by our actions, by the words that we express, by the thoughts that we think. It all brings forth faith. And Jesus saw it too. When He was on earth, if they didn't show faith, He couldn't reach out and heal them. Those Americans who don't like our tracks so well don't have faith either. And they're in great trouble. They're going to stand for God and give an account one day. But thank God for faith in the earth. Thank God that there are still people. And I feel like we were so privileged to go down into that Guanajuato area and minister to those people. It was a simple way. It was like to do it again maybe and be able to speak Spanish, but You know what? The Lord sent us there. And he put that faith in our heart. That faith to believe him. And I believe the Lord's going to use that. I believe there's going to be a people that come out of that. I thank God for Brother Carlos and Nahant. The others, they were, sometimes we would meet Christians as we were passing out tracts, and again, that, oh, that beautiful unity that he would, that spontaneous spirit of knowing that the Lord is God, was just a beautiful reality, that expression of faith that you could feel in the hearts. But most of these people, I don't think had ever heard, hadn't really had any way of knowing. They were deep into Catholicism and those rituals, religion that doesn't save, but praise God, Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ saves. I remember one man, he was a little reluctant to take the track, and I felt fear in his heart. I really felt fear, and I said to him, I said, you know, religion doesn't save. It takes Jesus Christ. You need to reach out to him and give him your heart. And praise the Lord, we can do that. We have opportunity. We have opportunities to serve the Lord. He's given us chances, opportunities. We can all do something for the kingdom of God. He'll put it deep inside us and make it possible for us if we'll only go forward and believe and show faith. Faith is that victory that overcomes the world, that faith that quenches those fiery darts and takes us on so that we can have strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, praise God. All right. Here we go. Praise God.
The Lord.
Well, I also am reminded a little bit more about what had happened along our journey there, and talking with Terry Battistoni, she had made mention many times how that as we would praise and worship her two dogs. Now, bear with me, what are their names? I've always had trouble with names. I don't know why it is. Her two dogs would always come together and they would howl as we would praise and worship the Lord. They would go howl on the couch. They would sing along as these CDs would be played in our worship services. And they would sing along with the worship. And then she would tell us how that when she was at the guard shack, that these CDs would be playing and the animals would come out. A donkey, cattle, deer. And they would all come out and start mooing. And as we were praying with that man in the guard shack, sure enough, here comes that white donkey across our path as we were praying. I seen him walk right across the front part of the window. Then I saw a couple of cattle walking this way. This is at a guard shack near a plant in Port Arthur, Texas, Beaumont area. And outside of that, there you have the woods. Where these animals come from, I don't know. But they just showed up out of the blue. And we were praising and worshiping, and there they were. They started coming out. And I thought that was very interesting, and never forget that.
Praise the Lord.
And one more note I wanted to also bring up was that Carlos, or Charles, his American name, Charles, his I suppose Spanish name, Carlos. He wanted to extend to the brethren here greetings. He plans on, he has established his house church. It's not a regular church, it's a house church in Mexico. And he's got over 44 thriving people living for the Lord now. And hopefully by this coming May, he wants to make it over to that city near Eagle Pass, Texas. And then there's a city that on the border, it's a very dangerous city. And he wants to get over there hopefully sometime by May. But after we finished eating, he gave us a free breakfast. He said, "It's on me." And he gave us a hug. We prayed with him. We blessed him with some money anyways. But it was a wonderful exchange of faith and camaraderie, you know, as we met them for the first time and said our goodbyes, and off we went. And it was a wonderful trip in so many ways and so many levels of faith and trusting God in every area, almost at every turn. Something new had happened, and we had to express that faith in God. And Lord, show us what to do. Where do we go? What do we say? What do we do? And all along the way, confirmation after confirmation. So praise God for that. And faith truly is the victory. Amen. And we should probably sing that song, "Faith is the Victory." If you happen to have that printout nearby you, or are able to locate that, and I know that we have it in the Gospel Melodies book here. I'm not so sure what's out there in the pews or who has what out there, but if you don't have it, just feel free to follow along. But we'll sing that song, and bear with me one moment, sure. Faith is the victory. Psalm 121, if you do see it in that Gospel Melodies, or there's a printout, but it's on 121, I believe, truly in that book there. So, okay, are you looking for your copy there, Shirley, or what?
I did find it.
You did? Okay.
So I could get the page to stay open.
Praise God. In camps along the hills of life, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in bells below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the saints above with shouts of triumphs trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept over every field. The faith by which they came this death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth then girt about. The earth shall tremble beneath the tread, and echo with the shout. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Ah, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Be dismissed unto prayer. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you. Thank you.